join his hand. Oh, I'm too close to shaking hands with all my friends. You know I'm a
Hi there, welcome to our Soul Food Broadcast, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Princeton, West Virginia.
Stand up with your Bibles, Mitch. I would ask you to please turn off or put your cell phones on vibrate. And turn to Ruth chapter 2. Verse 11. Ruth 2, verse 11. And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, God of Israel, and whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. When she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned. It was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what was kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Ruth the Moabite said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men till they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you do not go out with the young women, or you go out with the young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field. She stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean till the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. Do not make yourself known to the man until after he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what you should do." She said to her, "All that you say to me I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly and covered his feet and lay down. It happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there was a woman lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." Lord, pray that you would bless the reading of your word this morning, Father. I pray, Lord, that the meditation of my heart, Lord, and the words of my mouth would be acceptable to you, my rock and my redeemer. We ask in your name. Amen. Please be seated. In the late 19th century, Horatio Spafford placed his wife and their four children on a steamer sailing from New York to France. He was to join his family just a few weeks later. The weather was good and the ship made good progress. Then early one morning, as the passengers slept, they were awakened by a terrific clap like thunder. Immediately after that, the ship shuddered and the passageways filled with frightened passengers. The ship had been rammed by the British ship, the Lockhern. Miss Spafford saw all four of her children swept away into the sea, And then she too was gone, only to wake up later to find she had been rescued by the sailors on the Lochearn. Spafford heard the collision at the sea and was desperate with worry, and then he received a wire from Wales telling him that his four daughters were lost at sea, but his wife was still alive. The telegram simply said, "Saved alone." Grief-stricken, Spafford then boarded the ship and sailed to join his wife in Wales. En route, the captain of the ship announced that they were passing over the place where the ship had wrecked. It was then that Horatio Spafford found himself literally passing through the dark valley of the shadow of death. He sat in the cabin mourning the loss of his daughters. In light of his faith in God and his eternal hope for his children, he wrote the following words. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." We've been following the story of Naomi and Ruth for the past few weeks, and you remember that because of all her losses she has suffered, Naomi asked them to no longer call her by her name Naomi, which means pleasant, but to rather call her Mara, which means bitter. Both Naomi and Horatio Spafford encountered events that would have challenged the faith of anyone in here. And yet they at least initially were polar opposites in their attitude towards God. But this morning we're going to see our first glimpse, and Naomi is starting to see that God is for her and not against her. But the question we each have to face is, how do we respond in those times when God makes no sense to our way of thinking? This is a question that we will all struggle with from time to time when things don't go our way, or at least the way that we had planned. So is God working in those types of situations? Yes. The Scripture unequivocally affirms this. One writer said, "Life must be lived forwards, but it must be understood backwards." And that describes the events in the book of Ruth and also in your life story. One man wrote concerning the book of Ruth that it was God's deliberately engineered twist of heavenly serendipity. Look at verse 11 with me. "And Boaz answered and said to her, 'It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. Now you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before. Lord, repay your work, and a full reward will be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge.' And she said, 'Let me find favor in your sight, my lord. If you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, then I'm not like one of your maidservants.' Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, 'Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar.' So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back." The word translated "answered" in Ruth 2:11 is literally "raised his voice." Boaz was getting excited. He wanted everybody to hear what he thought about Ruth, and he wasn't ashamed to be identified with her. She had trusted God, and she had proven her faith by cleaving to her mother-in-law and becoming part of the people of Israel in Bethlehem. All of this happened to Ruth because of her faith in God. Boaz fully knew Ruth's story before it didn't take long for news to travel in a little town like Bethlehem. He knew that Ruth had abandoned her home, her false gods, and had truly put her faith in Jehovah, and thus she had taken refuge under his wings. Now, Scripture pictures God as catching Israel up on his wings in the Exodus, but God here is portrayed as a mother bird covering and sheltering the young and fragile with his wings. So Boaz blessed Ruth in light of her newfound commitment and dependence upon the Lord. And be sure of one thing. God's hidden hand is always at work in those who have taken refuge in him. Though he may be visible nowhere, he is active everywhere. And then we realize that the God who has worked in us is also the God who is at work for us. But please notice that verse 12 reminds us that prayer can be dangerous. What I mean is, whenever you pray for someone, you should realize that God's will often be that you are part of that answer. So Boaz just isn't putting on a religious show, as we will see, praying for a needy person. He's also going to be quite willing for God to use him in helping Ruth. Just a few days ago, I had a family member who could have given me practical help in a particular area, but instead told me she would pray for me. I don't want to seem irreverent, but I can't tell you how little that meant to me. I felt like I was living James 2:16, where it says, "And if one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and well filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for the body, what use is that?" That may not fit in a sermon, but it's free therapy for me, so thanks for listening. By the way, the family member wasn't Connie. I just want you guys yelling at her because of your devotion and affection you have for me. Look at verse 14. You've heard of the South Beach diet and the Atkins diet? Well, this is the Ruth diet. In this diet, you eat until you're satisfied, and then you stop. She obviously wouldn't have fit in at Calvary Chapel, Bethlehem, huh? I didn't see that in any of the commentaries, so take it with a grain of salt. Verse 15, "When she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also, let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her.'" Now, today our mechanical combines are very efficient, taking almost 100% of grain from the field. In those days, however, the harvest would be done by hand. But still, a good field worker would rarely leave any stalk standing. Most of the grain gathered by the poor then would be actual grains scattered on the ground. So someone would be picking up individual grains almost 99% of the time. Now, Boaz realizes that Ruth is a rookie in all this, so he tells his workers to let some of the grain purposely fall on the ground for her to pick up. I love the King James here. It says, "Let there fall handfuls on purpose." Now, keeping in mind that Boaz is the type of Christ, now think about Jesus. How many times out of his great compassion for us has he dropped handfuls of blessings on purpose? And so we are just like Ruth in this matter. We don't understand it, and we sure don't deserve it, but the blessings just continue to come. I'll never understand that some of the times when I felt the least deserving of any blessing, God would graciously drop handfuls on purpose. Maybe just to remind me that it truly is really all about grace. But what must have gone through Ruth's mind as handfuls of grain now lay before her? In the early part of the day, she would have struggled to find a piece of grain here and a piece of grain there. Working under that blistering sun, how many times did she have to bend down before she even got even a handful of grain? But now she's almost tripping over the grain that has been purposely left for her. In this scene, we see the kindness of Christ displayed. Have you ever been in a place where hopelessness and despair seems to completely overwhelm you? But you can't give up. So like Ruth, you glean. You keep doing just what you can do, struggling to find a piece of grain here and a piece of grain there. But when you least expect it, you suddenly find yourself tripping over the goodness and grace of God. Verse 17, "So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went to the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, 'Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you.' So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, 'The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz.' And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead.' And Naomi said to her, 'This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives.'" One question before we dig into that passage. Why doesn't Boaz simply just hire Ruth? Think about it. He could just hire Ruth and then the two ladies would be taken care of and that would be that. But see, God has greater plans sometimes than what we see as the obvious solution is a solution that is way below what God has planned for us. Sometimes we are frustrated with God's timing because it seems so slow and the solution seems to be right in front of our eyes. I mean, have you ever counseled God? "Lord, obviously this is the right way to go, so let's go." And you tack on "in Jesus' name" so it doesn't sound so carnal. But sometimes God has greater plans for us. So by allowing Ruth to continue to glean, Boaz is able to give Naomi and Ruth far above what he could have given as a humanitarian gesture or by hiring Ruth as an employee. See, the wage that each hired worker would get was about a quarter pound of grain a day. So if Boaz hires Ruth, she will make and she will walk away with just that. But see how much she comes home with after just one day, an ephah. Now, Naomi is very surprised. Ruth should have came home with about enough grain to fill two hands if she was lucky. Instead, Ruth comes home with 30 pounds of grain. 30 pounds. See, Naomi expects Ruth to have two handfuls of grain, and she arrives with enough grain to fill almost six milk jugs. Ruth has collected the equivalent of one day's month's wages in just one day. So this is why Boaz didn't hire her. He can be more generous if he goes about things in an unusual way. And that's often the way that God does with us. The grain she gleaned would have been enough for both women for nearly a week. The two women were, of course, overjoyed. The Hebrew lends the idea that they actually gave one another high fives. No, it doesn't. This is why you should bring your Bible. Finally, in verse 20, we see Mara disappear and Naomi return from bitterness to joy. She can't contain it and blesses the Lord. But it was a journey to get to the point of praise, and so will often be with us. The Christian walk is one of peaks and valleys. All of us have experienced or will experience difficulties in our lives. As believers, we know that God is sovereign and allows nothing to take place in our lives that is not meant to conform us into the image of His Son. But when an amazing and wonderful thing happens in our life, we say the hand of God was certainly with us. Does that mean that when something bad happens in our life that the hand of God is not with us? No, He is with us then also. Verse 21, Ruth the Moabite said, He also said to me, You shall stay close by my young men till they have finished all my harvest. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field. So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Ruth's half bushel of grain was the first fruits of all that Boaz would do for her in the future, just as the Holy Spirit that lives within us is the first fruits of all that God has promised to us. I also think it's interesting in verse 21 that it says that Ruth says that Boaz told her to stay by the young men, but crafty Naomi in verse 22 ignores that and tells Ruth not to stay with the men, but to stay with the young women. Naomi says, Girl, stay away from the men. Our goal is to snag Boaz. Now, between verse 23, there is an undetermined amount of time. But what we do know is that Ruth stayed by the young women and kept faithful in her gleaning. Chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Now, Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Apparently, Naomi sees that Boaz would be interested in Ruth, but realizes that Boaz would see it as absurd that a younger woman would have any interest in him whatsoever. Remember, Boaz is much closer in age to Naomi than he is to Ruth. Rabbinical tradition says Boaz was in his early 60s, probably Naomi's age, while Ruth was in her early to mid-20s. So, Naomi hatches a plan. They didn't have the Olive Garden back then, so Naomi's going to set them up for their first date at the threshing floor. The interesting thing is you'd have to take turns sharing the threshing floor. So apparently there was some type of schedule. And so Naomi finds out when Boaz is going to be there. Verse 3, Therefore wash and anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Notice how she is to get ready. She's to wash and anoint herself and then put on her best clothes. Nothing's changed, has it? Take a long, hot shower, spray on the Chanel number 5, put on that slinky red number, and catch him unawares. Naomi says, Listen, get all gussied up, but don't make yourself known to the man until after he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be that when he lies down, he will tell you what to do. Now, Naomi had a husband and two sons, so she obviously knew men well. She says he's going to eat and drink, and then he'll want to go to sleep. That's just how men are. Remember, there was no football in those days. There's really nothing else to do. For all you singles out there, that was just free dating advice from the pages of Scripture. Few things increase your chances of a relationship more than putting on a clean shirt and not stinking. Verse 4. Then it will be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies. You shall go and cover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, I'll let you say to me, I will do. In our way of thinking, that's kind of a strange way to express interest in marriage. And it was probably strange to Ruth as well. Remember, she was a foreigner. And so Naomi would have to explain this custom to her. Maybe she thought that Naomi was messing with her. Like when I was in the Air Force, we used to send the new guys to get the key to start the jet. We'd tell them that we need a bucket of elbow grease. This probably sounded just about as weird to Ruth. What Ruth was about to do in essence then was to ask Boaz to marry her. Now marriage proposals comes in all shape and varieties. I heard of a story of one guy who really put things off. He'd been going with a woman for almost 6 years and still nothing by the way of a proposal. Anyway, one evening she decided to do something. They sat down at their favorite Chinese restaurant and got ready to order dinner. When the waiter asked the woman, how do you want your rice? She simply said, I want it thrown at me. Verse 6. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly and covered his feet and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. During this time, the men would sleep around the grain to protect it from the thieves. Remember, this is the time during the period of Judges where every man was doing what was right in his own eyes. It was a very low time morally. So the men would sleep around the grain with their heads pointed toward it in a circle. Imagine a bicycle wheel with all the spokes, and you get the idea. But this is also a marvelous picture of the cross. Boaz is asleep, resting satisfied with what he has brought to fruition. He has the grain that he has separated from the chaff, and now he protects it. That's what Calvary is. It's where Christ has separated in judgment the wheat from the chaff, and when he died, he secured eternally that wheat. The price is paid, and they are secured. Here also is a picture of the Redeemer to come. Ruth and Boaz eventually would marry, give birth to Obed, who would be the grandfather of King David, from whom in about another 1,000 years, Jesus would be born. Boaz is simply more than an ancestor to the Redeemer. However, consider how he looks and acts like Jesus. Boaz's mother was a prostitute. Jesus was also conceived in an unmarried woman and was considered illegitimate. Boaz is middle-aged, worthy, respectable, godly, and a means, and yet still single. That is very rare. We suspect he was marginalized because of his family. Jesus also was marginalized because of his race and background. Boaz sets his love on someone poor and needy. Yes, he may have noticed Ruth's beauty, but it was not the beauty of a Hollywood model or a pampered and preened sophisticate. He saw the hidden beauty of the heart, the character and faithfulness behind the sweat of work and the labor of poverty. Likewise, Jesus lavishes his love on the poor and needy. Those who come to Christ are without hope prior to his love, foolish in the eyes of the world, and weak and helpless apart from the wings of God's love and provision. Boaz will sacrifice his hopes for Ruth's honor. He wants with every fiber of his being to love this beautiful creature who admits she wants to marry him, but the law stands in the way. Another has the right to Ruth first. And as we will see next week, he waits and then redeems Ruth at a great cost. Jesus too loves a people, but the law stands. No one enters the fullness of God's holy joy still stained by sin. Heaven and true happiness are shut to sinners. Unless one can be found to pay the price of redemption, they will die in the poverty of their sin. Now with that in mind, we now understand the Bible's euphoric description that it gives of love and redemption. So Boaz wakes up at midnight, and lo, there was a woman lying at his feet. This had to throw poor Boaz off a little, I would think. Personally, I've never had that happen to me. Although one time, Connie did come to me on her hands and knees. He then said, come out from under that bed and fight like a man. But actually, there are a few guys in the Bible who experienced rude awakenings. Adam went to sleep and woke up to discover that not only had he been through surgery, but he went to sleep single, only to wake up a married man. Even more disturbing was poor Jacob, who woke up only to discover he had married the wrong woman. Now, it is interesting, in the book of Numbers, we find that the Moabite women laid down with the Jewish men in order to seduce them into idolatry. But Ruth lays down as a Moabitess, not as an enemy, but one who is in desperate need of help from Israel's Jehovah God. But what does it mean for Ruth to uncover the feet of Boaz? Well, as a practical matter, the night air would cool to the point where Boaz would wake up and have to recover himself. So it serves as a way to wake up Boaz without embarrassing Ruth with any gestures that it might be taken as a sexual advance. In addition, it is a clear cultural sign to Boaz that Ruth is, beyond any doubt, interested in him. Not even a man can miss the communication of having his feet uncovered. I'm no good at that kind of thing. Sometimes from across the room, Connie will try to communicate with me with making face gestures or waving her hands around. I never have the interpretation of that. For all I know, she's just swatting flies. But Ruth is obedient and uncovers his feet. Now that just sounds weird to us. I mean, if you are married, that is the last thing you want your spouse to do. It could actually be a precursor to a fight. We're more like, hey, it's cold in here, quit hogging the covers. So what does Boaz do? Come back next week and I'll tell you. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you are our Redeemer. And we are just like Ruth, Lord, walking around this earth trying to pick up a piece of grain here of satisfaction, a piece of grain there. But Lord, you have truly given us handfuls of blessing on purpose. Just hearing Dee and Tammy this morning, it's just proof of that, Father. You are good to your children. So we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.